Welcome to Dementia in the House, navigating a loved one's dementia with solutions and support from experts and friends. I'm Catherine Nichols. Nora Rahimian is the helpline coordinator at Alzheimer's Los Angeles. I started by asking her what she does in a typical day.
So I'm the kind of first line of defense for people who are dealing with dementia, who are caring for family members. They call our helpline, and whatever questions they have, whatever support they need, I'm kind of the first responder. And if their needs are more complex, then I loop them into our systems of care here at the organization.
I heard you talk about something that people run into a lot, and it's referred to here, maybe in general circumstances, as the therapeutic lie. Can you just walk us through what happens? People call up and the person you're caring for with dementia is on a completely different page or planet. Mm-hmm. Walk us through what happens and what you advise people mm-hmm. to do.
Call them therapeutic fibs, because fib is more stomachable than saying lie to your mom. It's okay. But, you know, as you said, people with dementia kind of live in their own reality. For us as caregivers, we want to tell them what our reality is, or correct them towards our reality. And that just doesn't work. People with dementia, because of the nature of the disease, can't make that connection. And so the therapeutic fib really is a way of kind of living in the person with the disease's reality. If they think that it's 1966, pretend that it's 1966. If they think that they're astronauts, play astronauts. It's a little bit like playing pretend with little children. But what it does is it validates the experience that the person with the disease is having. It just feels better. It's a lot easier for everybody. So it's really a loving way of dealing with people who have the disease.
It's loving. And yet you find that when people call, they struggle with this idea, again, fib or lie, mm-hmm. of not telling the truth to someone they love and respect or have, you know, had in their lives for decades. Can you tell us about how you walk someone through that process?
Yeah, on a bigger level, it's representative of the change that happens when people become caregivers for their parents or for a partner. The relationship starts to change. You know, parents lie to their kids all the time. And so people struggle, I think, in part with that shift in the relationship. A lot of what I do is just give people permission and kind of validate the feelings of loss and guilt, but also really talking about how the therapeutic fib is in the most loving interest of that person, because it's dementia is confusing. And so if someone lives in your reality, it's a lot more comfortable and really adds to the feeling of safety that the person with dementia has.
Right, dementia is confusing for a patient and caregiver.
For everybody, it's difficult.
And you also talked about giving permission to feel frustrated. Could you touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think most people love the person that they're caring for. But dementia is frustrating, and you give up a lot, and there's not a lot of reward. They forget who you are. And so there's a lot of feelings of frustration, and people often feel guilty for feeling frustrated. I love my mom. I'm not supposed to be mad at her, that kind of stuff. And so giving people a space to feel what they feel fully and allow, you know, validating that, but also recognizing that that's part of their self-care practice. We talk a lot about self-care for caregivers. Because if you're not able to take care of yourself, you're not good to anybody else. And so just really allowing people to feel what they feel. And so talking about how normal those feelings are, connecting them to spaces where other people are feeling those things. And so they see that they're not alone. We do a lot of support group kind of referrals and things like that. And so that understanding of it's okay to feel what you feel. It doesn't mean that you're not a good caregiver or that you don't love the person you're caring for.
What's one of the most challenging aspects of your job?
The fact that there's very little resources for caregivers. So people call and they're economically challenged. You know, they're working a job, they have kids, and they have to caregive. And there's not a lot of kind of resources out there. And so sometimes I'm like, I wish I could do more, but there's just nothing available. Thing that I think systemically needs to change.
How would you see that changing besides more funding? I mean, that's the fundamental piece, but what would you like to see done or differently?
Definitely more funding, but also changes in how we look at dementia. If entire communities, and there's some work around that now with dementia-friendly communities and cities, where everybody can be the caregiver. So the burden doesn't fall on one person, so that if mom does go wandering, the neighbor down the street knows to keep an eye on mom, or the banker knows not to take a transaction because the person has dementia. takes a lot of pressure off a single caregiver. So it's the idea of it takes a village, right? This is on the other scale. It takes a village to raise a child, but it also takes a village to take care of our elders.
Is there anything you'd like to add?
Don't be afraid to ask for help. You don't have to do it alone. And the more you can kind of ask for help, the better you can take care of yourself. So our helpline is 844-435-7259. Call me, talk to me, I'll answer the phone. And if not me, then someone else, because that kind of help and support, dementia is not something to do by yourself.
Thank you so much for your time, Nora.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Music in these podcasts is used with permission from artist Jake Shimabukuro, Making a Perfect Yesterday, from his album entitled Dragon.